Welcome to True Worldview, your place for intelligent conversation on ultimate questions and the issues that matter. I'm Christy Johnson. I'm here with Paul Dean, and today we're going to be talking about the profanation of our culture.
That's right, Christy, and this sort of came across our thought processes in light of just a small piece that I read on my news feed. It's about Josh Brolin. Wasn't too long ago, and of course, I think most people know who Josh Brolin is. He did the Avengers. I think he was Thanos, and I just have to say, I'm not that familiar with Josh Brolin or the Avengers. I didn't see it. I think you saw it, and I might be the only person in the world who hasn't seen it, right?
Well, actually, you probably are.
That's okay. It's not that I'm not interested in the culture, but, you got to pick and choose.
He's Thanos, man, the big bad guy.
Yeah. Well, he's being big and bad now in real life, in a sense. I just came across this little thing. He took to Instagram. This has been a week or two, maybe 3 weeks ago now.
It's all over the news, though. In fact, I just typed in his name and Google auto completed me wanting me to look this up. So it's all over.
Well, apparently, he had taken a picture of his wife, Catherine Boyd. She's young. She's like 32 years old. And apparently, I haven't seen the picture, but apparently she was, scantily clad. Maybe she was in her underclothes or something like that. And someone, made a comment. I guess they'd call him a troll. And he said,
yeah, that's right.
He said, why show your wife's body off on the internet? It's not good. God wants her to cover her body, not expose her body. And, obviously would agree with that. Don't know that I would have, called out Josh Brolin, but nevertheless, but Brolin's response is kind of what prompted this little conversation today, because it's representative. It's not the first time. It's not the only time. It's part of something that's proliferated our culture, and we're calling it the profanation of our culture. And not just the language that he's using, but the whole attitude behind it. But here's what he said. Remember, the individual said God wants her to cover her body. And Brolin said, I just spoke to God, and God asked me to please ask you to shut the blank up. Now, he said a very profane word, it starts with an F, and so we're not going to go down that road. But he said, God, asked me to told you to shut up in that way. So, here's an instance, Christy, where, what I'm lamenting is the open use. On the one hand, we've got more to say, but the open use of this foul language in our culture. I remember when I was in college, this is back in the early 80s, a lot of college kids use a lot of foul language. People have often used foul language. But over the last 30 years, 40 years, number one, it's gotten worse, the words that they're willing to use on a regular basis. Number two, it's more prolific. You hear women using these words that didn't used to, at least in public. And then beyond that, it's everywhere. I can't read a news article today without seeing someone use this foul, and I'm going to call it what it is. It's abusive, foul language, abusive language. Josh Brolin disagrees with this guy. That's perfectly legitimate. But the guy, whatever his motive were, he wasn't abusive. Josh Brolin was abusive. And this is commonplace now. Just a few years ago, you wouldn't hear a news commentator use this language. You wouldn't quote anybody. You wouldn't see it in print. But now it's, like I say, I hate to sound like a broken record, but it's in almost every single article that I come across these days. It's just in your face. And that is a major shift in our culture.
Yeah, it is in your face, and not just on articles, but all over YouTube and social media and Netflix shows and, you know, CBS All Access shows, the streaming shows, because, yeah, you know, they're not networks, so they can do whatever they want and be a little bit more racy, as you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's all over, and it's just the norm. And we see it on TV, and especially in YouTube comments and social Instagram comments and those kinds of things, where trolls like this troll are so common all the time, and people just go back and forth and fight. I mean, for real, like, I've even had someone like comment back to me with a profane word when I've just made a simple comment on a YouTube video. And then I'm like, well, geez, that was uncalled for. Like, why? Right. But it's all over.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, obviously, it's owing to the erosion of the Christian worldview in our culture. You know, you mentioned Netflix, or maybe you just mentioned, you know, some kind of paid service, but I'm thinking Netflix, just by way of example. I was watching this show with mild interest, and you're probably familiar, it was called Designated Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Kiefer Sutherland's the president and, you know, winds up being president after they blow up Congress or something. Watch the first season. To me, just to be honest with you, it's not a very well done show, but, you know, it was one of those shows that I could actually watch and be mildly entertained. Well, I was waiting for the second season, and somehow Netflix took it over. And right out of the gate, the very first episode, you can tell it's totally different. They're using language that they never used in the first season. And not only that, you hear the president's, I don't even know, 12-year-old girl using the same kind of profane language.
Mm.
And so, like you say, everyone's sort of pushing that envelope right now. And the reason is, you know, our culture, it's not that everybody in our culture used to be Christian, but it's that our culture was largely influenced by Christian ideals, Christian values. A lot more folk were Christians, but even those who weren't Christian, a lot of them certainly lived these values out. That's the nature of a lot of our laws, and that's why our laws are changing today. That's why we're in chaos in Washington, in chaos in the legislature, in chaos in the media, the entertainment industry. I could go on. And when you throw out God, guess what? You've thrown out your moral anchor. It's like we've said so many times, you know, we're talking about true worldview. If you throw out the true worldview, you don't have a worldview that says it's right or wrong to be this way, whether you're talking about foul language or whether you're talking about being abusive in your language to others.
Yeah, and not only do we see the erosion of the Christian worldview, but we see total depravity on display, I think, because we see, honestly, just like more and more progressively, people are pushing the line and pushing the line even further. You know, the Grammys just happened, and I don't really watch the Grammys, but, you know, I was reading that, like, it used to be where you couldn't swear on the Grammys, and now, you know, people were doing it all over the place this year, apparently. I didn't watch the Grammys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, it just shows that, like, man sinks, you know, not rises when they're left to their own devices. So when we have that Christianity erode and we're left with what people actually are, like, man loves this stuff. They love the foul language, and they love, you know, the provocative clothing that the artists wear on the Grammys. And it seems like it gets worse and worse.
Yeah, it does. And it's grievous. And you're absolutely right. That whole sinking process, and how, you know, the lost man, the lost woman, they do love the profane. They don't love God. And it really is an issue of loves. Do you love God, or do you love something else? And if you don't love God, well, you love yourself. You love that which is evil, whether you realize it or not. And some are, you know, going to go further than others, but it's still, they love that which is diametrically opposed to God. And one of the concerning things, Christy, is that this profanity, and we're going to talk about this in a larger context, I think, momentarily, but this profanation, this profanity, it's even crept into the church. I remember several years ago, one of my heroes, and maybe I shouldn't even mention his name. I'll let you be the judge of that. But he's such a blessing to the church. He's such a gift to the church. He's taught on just some topics that are so important for marriages and for parents. And I mean, he's a Christian minister and servant of the Lord. And yet he got into this whole what we would call scatological language, where he's willing to use profanity. On the one hand, it sounds kind of edgy. On the other, he came out and said, look, these are just verbal noises that we're making, and there's nothing inherently right or wrong with the use of the word, you know, whatever the word might be. He was using the S word at that particular mm-hmm. time, and he tried to say that that's the word that the Apostle Paul used when he said he counted his past life as dung, that he was really using the S word and all that. And I want to say to him, my brother, you have bought into a lie, Satan's lie. Yes, on the one hand, if you make a particular linguistic sound and you have no idea what it means, then you're not guilty of sin per se. But words have meaning in particular cultures. And the S word has a meaning in our culture. The F word that Josh Brolin is dropping has a particular meaning in our culture. And there is a difference in that sense between, you know, what's right and what's wrong, what's moral and what's immoral. And the Apostle Paul, he might have been being graphic in his use of the word dung. You might could use a different word. That's fine. Human excrement. You know, I hate to talk about these things. You know, in Isaiah, he says, Isaiah says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Well, he's really referring to a menstrual cloth. Well, we get that, but there's a difference in being graphic versus being profane. And there's a big difference between, you know, the word dung and the S word. And there's a big difference between menstrual cloth and maybe some other word we might use. And God says in Ephesians 4:29, among other verses, he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And so, again, we're going to a larger context here, but it grieves me that this profanation is even creeping into the church. And I think part of it is not just because we're trying to be edgy or we're trying to think theologically, even if we come to the wrong conclusion, like this individual I'm referring to. But we've just become more and more like the world, Christy. We're just, you know, we're just desensitized and we just say what we say. I think a lot of Christians use language that they wouldn't have used just a few years ago.
Yeah, and I think part of it is because of the proliferation of it in the media, and we just consume whatever media we want. And when you put that, you know, in your mind and you're listening to that and those are the kinds of, you know, shows that you're watching, then of course, it's going to come out in your language because, you know, that's part of the story and you're thinking about it. And then eventually it's just going to come out, and out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I mean, maybe we should even one day do a podcast on swearing, because sure, so many Christians that I know and love are swearing in their normal life. And, you know, a lot of people, like you mentioned, this individual, you know, they say, well, it's just words and it's just noises. And, you know, it kind of leads to the question, well, like, you know, if we're using it a lot now in culture, maybe does it lose the meaning? Like, is it less offensive now because everyone's using it? You know, I don't know. Maybe that's something we can talk about on a future episode as well.
Sure. I'd love to talk about that. I've got some thoughts on that, but, yeah, just for now, staying on topic here, you know, I think we're losing sight of who God is in a sense. I mean, we more act like our culture than think deeply about God. And, you know, we know God is full of grace and mercy and love and the gospel. I mean, every one of our sins is forgiven. It's an incredible thing. And we need to be gospel people. We need to be forgiving and rest in that. But at the same time, God is holy. He's unique. And he expects his people to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And I'm not talking about legalism or man-made rules, but I think, you know, part of that is reverencing God and taking, you know, life seriously and not being casual all the time or lazy or flippant all the time or profane. You know, again, we're talking about our connection to God, and it seems that the fear of God in our eyes is waning. You know, Romans 3 talks about, you know, the lost man. You know, no one seeks after God, no, not one. And he goes on to describe how, you know, the lost man acts. And he says something like the poison of snakes is on his lips, and there is no fear of God before his eyes. And that's kind of where I'm coming from. I think we need to have a higher view of God when we talk about these things. And Christy, I don't want to segue too quickly, but, you know, we've said we're going to look at a larger dynamic. It's not just the use of foul language in our culture. It's not just Josh Brolin and Christians and, you know, the scatological language, but it's the now open, immediate hostility in our culture. You know, Josh Brolin, I said not only was his comment foul, but it was abusive. And it's hostility. A verbal abuse is different than a physical attack. But, you know, what's in the heart when you just want to verbally beat someone up like this? God told me to tell you, you know, you're wrong. You know, it's one thing to say, well, I disagree. Thank you for your comment, versus God told me to tell you to shut up and use the F word in the process. Again, a grievous dynamic.
Yeah, and like you said, it's common, it's commonplace, it's so prevalent, you know, and it's almost even encouraged, you know, people will say, oh, look at that clapback that they made.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's just like, you know, like they're slapping them back and people, you know, get excited over this stuff. And
that's what passes always for news these days.
Yeah, for real. Like when I Google, when I searched Josh Brolin, it auto-completed the story and like four news articles popped up on this thing. And it's like, really? Because the more we give them, you know, news presence, the more people are going to do things like that. I didn't read any articles, you know, because I you know, it's a touchy subject, or, you know, I didn't want to see the picture that was, you know, in question or whatever.
Right.
But I think we also see not only just like hostility and like aggression, but we even see cancel culture to be a big thing, where if someone does the wrong thing, well, they're canceled and we're not going to, you know, talk to them anymore or be friends with them anymore. Or, you know, we're going to unsubscribe from them. We're going to unfollow them on social media. And it's just like, it's sad because it is so hostile, and it's almost like we've lost our, I don't know, kind-heartedness, which to me is such a hypocritical thing, because I feel like our culture has tried so hard to at least say that they want to love and respect people. And I think we've talked about this before on some of our other episodes, but then in the same breath, you know, they're clapping back and being aggressive.
Yeah, that's right. I think a good example in my mind was in the aftermath of the State of the Union address that the president gave recently. And we could say a lot of things, but one thing, Nancy Pelosi at the very end of his speech made a public display of ripping up his speech. And that is just unheard of. And, you know, she's a representative not just of the Democrats, but of Congress as a whole in that position. And the lack of respect, the lack of decorum, and the cancel culture that you're referring to, this is what I'm talking about. It's a new day in our culture. And again, it's because we've lost our moorings. We've lost the Christian worldview. Nancy Pelosi obviously has no understanding of what the Christian worldview is. And this is where we're going. And I think the question for us, Christy, is, well, what should we do rather than just complain? We've spent, you know, 20 minutes talking about it. What do we as the church do? What do we as Christians do? That's where we need to get to.
Yeah, because we don't want to just be, you know, like you said, complaining. We don't want to be just calling people out. I think there is a time and a place for that. But we don't want to be throwing rocks, you know, because then if we do that, we're just like the culture, and we want to show a better way. We want to show God's way, and we want to point them to the gospel.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because it's about souls before it's about, you know, the language that you're using. And again, it might be that we talk about that in the conversation, but ultimately they need Christ. And so we as Christians need to step it up in terms of focusing on the gospel in our public ministries, in our conversations as individuals. And again, we've got to get hold of, you know, the biblical worldview. The biblical worldview is the, well, truth. It's truth, and it's truth about the totality of the universe, of all of reality. It's not just the truth about this or truth about that. Jesus wasn't just a great moral teacher. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the truth about ultimate reality. And so I think we need to call on our brothers and sisters to that, you know, gospel focus, that truth focus. We need to call on them to repent. We need to get away from the, you know, the not eschata, but the scatological language, the profane language. You know, we need to engage, and we need to engage in a broader way, a more winsome way. Not just call people out for their sin, but people need a new love. You know, we said a few moments ago, they love evil. We need to show them that Jesus is far, far better, and you need to love him. And if you do, you'll be fulfilled.
Yeah, absolutely. And we need to be showing a better way, you know, like you said, a new love. And if we as Christians are just out there doing the same thing that the culture is doing, you know, swearing or, you know, giving our little one-line retorts or being aggressive, because we do that all over social media. I mean, you, sometimes you can't tell the difference between the way a Christian handles social media and the way a non-believer would. But we have these opportunities to show people what it really does mean to be a Christian. And that's something that we need to be thinking about, something that we need to have wisdom about. And we need to be lovingly pointing people to Christ and to the gospel and showing them truth. So join us next time on True Worldview.
You've been listening to True Worldview, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical perspective. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Thanks for listening, and join us next time on True Worldview.
And the gospel.